K-Billy Super Sounds of the 70s continues. You just heard The World is a Ghetto by War and Billy Don't Be a Hero by Bull Donaldson and the Haywoods. And if you're the 12th caller, you'll win two tickets to the Monster Truck Extravaganza being held tonight at the Carson Fairgrounds, featuring Big Daddy Don Bodine's truck, the Behemoth. The 12th caller wins on the station where the 70s survived. KBILLY.
Hand me the keys, your fairy godmother.
This is fools, old man.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Stuff you.
These sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's bullcrap.
Freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you.
I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Welcome to Cinema.
Here we go. It is episode 140 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going? Thanks for tuning in, downloading, checking us out. We appreciate it. This is our weekly movie show. New episodes available every Monday, though truth be told, usually comes out early on a Sunday, but that's early. So if it doesn't come out exactly on Sunday night, don't be getting on me.
Yo, man, the people just want their free Crespo.
The people do want their free entertainment. They do love it.
That's all they're looking for.
Some people are jumping right on that. We thank you. We love you for doing it. You are the best. That was my co-host, Drew Cogburn. Drew!
What up, bro?
I gave you the storm one. That was a mistake.
How does it?
There you go. Let's get that microphone there. There we go, buddy. Yeah, talking to...
Don't be touching my mic, bro.
I'm sorry. I just got to talk into it. That's all.
Don't be touching my mic.
So...
It's weird.
This is Drew Cogburn.
See, isn't it weird if I touch your mic? Isn't it strange?
I can follow it.
Don't you think it's weird?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing okay. Too bad this isn't...
Don't be touching my mic.
If we did have the Periscope up, people would have had a chuckle. From that visual humor.
Small chuckle.
That was just for us. That was just you and me. We shared that joke right there. But we're sharing it audibly with people. Thank you for checking us out. Drew.
Chris.
Might as well talk about it right away. We just had that thing.
That thing?
That Doug Loves Movies appearance.
Your Doug Loves Movies appearance? Yes, we did.
Got your name out there, man.
They made fun of me for like 10 seconds.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
They didn't really make fun of you.
A little bit.
Kind of made fun of more the fact that we... Cinema Crespediso is a movie pun, and then Drewster Cogburn is also a movie pun. Well, and we brought both of those up within like 15 seconds.
That's the way we roll.
Yeah, that is the way we roll. Mm-hmm. What's up? Well, welcome to the show. That's how we roll with stupid movie puns.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
There's the Crespodome.
Yeah.
Fox popularized the Deep Pool. That's from a network. Come on, people. You got to watch that network. That was a lot of fun, that whole Doug Loves Movies thing.
No, it was. You did a good job, Chris. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Give yourself a hand. There you go.
Polite applause.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was... it went well. To be honest, I felt like it did go pretty well. And I was happy that like I wasn't a complete sweaty mess.
Well,
I was expecting to be like you could see visibly like huge sweat stains on my shirt sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
Was what I was expecting from both nerves... From it being Florida and humid and stage lights. Oh, the combination of those things.
Didn't get that.
No, but what I did get, what I didn't anticipate was the sweat. I think I was sweating like on my eyelids, like below my eyebrows because it was dripping straight into my eyeballs.
Well, that and I'm sure the lights were being focused through your glasses onto your eyes, making them slightly warmer.
Next time I won't wear my glasses out there. I don't even know why I wore them. It's not like I can see anything with the lights in your face. I can see the people are like right up on the stage.
Yeah.
So I could see like the first like two or three people deep, maybe a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little weird seeing all their faces, like all the
they're eyes all looking just staring at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, sitting up looking at you like entertain us.
Do it.
Do it.
Clown. Entertain me.
I was like, oh my God, I don't know.
Come on, Jester. Come on, fool.
It was a little it was nerve-wracking.
Yes, I'm sure.
Absolutely. But it was a lot of fun. All the people were super nice.
You got through it.
I got through it. I got some good feedback.
You won.
Spoiler alert, I won the game. If you listen to this first before you listen to Dougo's movies, I won.
Chris wins.
I win. It was pretty awesome.
Yep.
So yeah, check that out. The latest Doug Loves Movies. It's me, Matt Fernandez, who is a Tampa comic.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy. And Esther Koo, a Miami-based stand-up comic, who is also on done some TV and stuff too.
Well, there you go. He got representing the three major markets in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I had to drive the shortest distance.
Yes, you did, because he was in Orlando.
Because he was in Orlando, and I was about 20 minutes away. Mm-hmm. It made good time that day, too.
Yeah.
I totally got left at the bar for like half an hour.
It happens. Nobody knew who you were.
No one knew who I was. The very nice lady who put me at the bar was like, oh, we'll get you back there when everyone shows up. Like, she forgot about me. And then when she came back to see me, she was like,
who are you?
What's your name again? I was like, Chris Crespo. And she's like, oh, all right, okay. And then she took me backstage. And then when I saw Doug, one of the first things he said to me was, that lady thought your name was Mike.
Sweet.
I was like, yeah.
Good job, Mike.
Weird way to start the...
I'm going to start calling you Mike from now on.
It was a weird way to start the interaction.
I agree, Mike.
Uh-oh. So, it was awesome, guys. And I appreciate everyone for like supporting me through it. And I really appreciate you guys. You're all super awesome. A lot of people went to kidneyforkevin.com and donated some money.
Yeah, well,
that was awesome.
Good job, Chris, for putting that out there.
The least I could do, right?
Yeah.
Tell other people to check it out. Kidneyforkevin.com. Mm-hmm. Please do. Donate at least a dollar. That's all.
We know you got a dollar.
We know you got a dollar somewhere. You're going to give that shit to DraftKings. Was there anything else I wanted to say about that? No, I guess.
I don't know. You tell me.
I can no.
No.
It was fun. Oh, and shout out to Rage Against Twit and Billy D at I Love Blood for running that Twitter campaign.
Getting you out there. I mean, it worked.
That's the only thing that got me on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
So
good job, guys.
In hindsight, I'm glad I asked, and I'm glad you guys did that. Because it worked. So now here we are on the other side. We crossed the Rubicon. We made it to the other end. And I was thinking of doing a complete reworking of the show format, but I think at least for this episode, we'll stick with what we know.
A complete, just by the seat of our pants.
By the seat of our pants. Yeah, well, no, we'll just do what we do, which we do so well. We'll just talk about movies.
Okay.
In various ways.
Okay.
And then maybe next week we'll break out the new format.
Do it all weird and strange.
That's what you want to call it, weird and strange.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of weird format.
It was strange.
We'll see. But the normal format is we start like we do every week with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Here we go.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
We do this every week. Go to chriscrespo.com to check out all the past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week. Been doing it for a few years now, so some of those movies aren't up there anymore. Don't kill the messenger.
But they might be back. By that I mean,
don't, you can see Kill the Messenger, but they might be back. Yeah.
You never know.
You do never know. They come up and they go down.
And if you don't have Netflix, well, we're sorry.
You can still find some of these movies on the Hulu and Amazon and, you know. Saying Netflix is just like saying the internet pick of the week. Mm-hmm. These movies are out there. Just fucking watch it. People.
All right, Chris.
Here we go. 1999.
2014.
Okay, I was only 15 years off. Give or take 15 years. I should have said that.
Rated R.
2014 rated R.
2 hours, 2 minutes.
Okay.
You rated it 4 stars.
Is it the type of movie to come out during the summer?
Not really.
Okay, good, good.
Although, I don't necessarily know when it came out.
Sure enough, it's sure.
It's not a movie I think of when I think summer movie.
Okay. I'm going to need a little more information.
drama based on books.
2014 drama based on a book. It's rated R and it's 2 hours. and 2 minutes. And it's starring Christian Bale.
No.
It's starring Michael Fassbender.
No.
It's starring Benedict Cumberbatch.
No.
It's starring Jennifer Lawrence.
No.
Okay, give me another thing.
It's starring Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank, 2014, based on a book. Is it really starring Hilary Swank? Oh, this is not The Homesman?
Yes.
All right. Hey, that gets one of these.
The movie you keep telling me to watch, and I don't think I'm interested.
The book, it's a very thin book, too. I saw it at the store. I'm going to have to buy it one day. Except for fact
that I could have said Western, but I thought that would have given away too much.
I almost asked, is it a Western? The very first thing I almost asked. The Homesman, Tommy Lee Jones, Hilary Swank. It's a small town in the middle of America, frontiers America. And just for whatever reason, three of the women in this very, very tiny community have all lost their minds in various ways, like over a harsh winter. So they need to be transported back east. But this movie isn't even about getting them all the way back east. It's just about getting them to like another city that's in the next state over, where there's like a nun at a convent, and she's like willing to watch over them while they get the husbands to come out and get them.
Okay.
Or whatever. Their family's going to come out and get them. So Tommy Lee Jones is like a scoundrel kind of guy.
Sweet.
You know, an old rascal, old West rascal.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets left to be hung by some people who call him a claim jumper. Hilary Swank comes around, frees him in exchange for his help with the transporting the ladies.
Ah, story of redemption.
Yes. Yes. And it's and at the same time, Hilary Swank is a plain lady, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where she lives by herself in this like dirt farm. And it starts with her like trying to woo one of her neighbors, like this dude, and the dude's like, you know,
not really interested.
He's like, you know, you make good food here, dinner's nice, and you play nice music, but I gotta go.
Adios.
Adios. Muchacha. And so she's sad.
Yeah.
So she's sad. He's a lonely rascal, and they're transporting three crazy ladies across the frontier.
Sweet.
Bendelsohn shows up for a scene.
Bendelsohn.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Love me some Mendelsohn.
And the movie takes a couple of turns. It takes two or three turns. There's two or three scenes that I was like not expecting to happen.
And totally did.
I was like, this is good. I am enjoying this. I'm already a fan of Westerns. I dig Westerns. But
really?
That was a good one though.
No.
Yes, Chris, I am.
Westerns.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Would have never thunk it.
Good, bad, ugly. Stuff like that. Right? So The Homesman. This is good, man. Good pick. Thanks, Drew. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Chris. Don't thank me. Thank the randomizer.
Crespo needs a randomizer 9000. Congratulations, randomizer. You did your job. And you were all like, we need to update this thing.
We do. We need the 10,000. Have you seen the pictures of the 10,000?
I have not.
It's so cool.
Show me. You got to show me those pictures one day.
Here. I'll email them to you right now.
Email me the pictures of the 10,000.
Yes.
Let's get into the box office recap there. While you read the numbers, I'll go and look at this picture of this 10,000.
Coming in at a number that is so far below zero because it's really, I guess, it's not in that many theaters, Chris. In fact, it only had a 21-day run that ended on August 27th.
Huh.
So we're seeing it after it's out of the major markets.
It's probably going to come on DVD then.
The movie Cop Car had a total domestic gross of $134,000.
This $10,000 looks pretty cool. Luis Crespo, randomizer $10,000.
I know.
But I mean, who's gonna pay for this thing?
I have no idea. We'll figure that out.
All right, figure it out later. Cop Car. Yeah, it's probably coming out very soon. So, Enzian does that a lot. They get good movies, but they get them like at the end of their theatrical runs. Probably cheaper that way.
Oh, definitely.
So how much did it make?
$134,000 total.
It's not
in 21 days.
That's no money.
Yeah.
That's no money whatsoever. But it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. What did you think?
I thought it was good. I mean, it's a very small, compact little story.
Yes. Very simple little story. Couple little kids. Steal a cop car, joyride it.
I think there was some unnecessary lengthening of scenes
to pad it out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It does have its, it's like a slower paced type of thing. You know, kind of like a Coen Brothers, Terrence Malick, Jeff Nichols kind of thing, like American classism. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like what I was going for. But I like that style, though. I probably so it didn't really feel like it was ever dragging for me. I was always like pretty much into it. But we were with Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt said the same thing. He was like, I felt the, he said it was like a super slow hour and a half movie. It's like a super slow short movie. And that happens. Solaris, Steven Soderbergh, Solaris.
Mm-hmm.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
But it is like a 3-hour
drag fest.
It's like, it's only an hour and a half and it feels like it's 3 hours.
Yeah.
But I like it. So it's like, well, then I can just luxuriate in all this, what's happening. Mm-hmm. And George Clooney walking down hallways very slowly, looking confused.
Well, he is very confused.
Or saddened. Yeah.
He's
both of those things. Very sad movie. Cop Car is fun. I mean, it was.
I mean, Kevin Bacon's mustache kills it in this movie.
Kevin's Bacon mustache kills
it. Kevin's Bacon mustache.
Kevin
Bacon's mustache. That's definitely the name of the episode.
Kevin's Bacon mustache. How do you spell mustache? His mustache was awesome. He was doing that whole rednecky sheriff thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun. I like the kids. I thought
the kids, great. Yeah. The kids, yeah. One of them was a troublemaker. The other one was just a little dopey.
Yeah. And then one, the troublemaker was influencing the other one. Mm-hmm. The whole corruption of innocence type thing.
Yeah.
Was this idea to get in the car.
This is
to
do everything.
To do everything. Exactly. Yeah, it is simple. They take the car and they Kevin Bacon thing. Where the fuck's the car? And then it's just him trying to get the car. It reminds me a lot of Blue Ruin. In that it's like it's a simple setup, and then they just follow the story,
and it kind of goes in some crazy places
in a very logical way. But it does go to some, it does take a couple turns. Like, oh shit, that was gonna, of course. And then you think about it, of course that's gonna happen. This movie's crazy. I thought it was cool. I really like the opening credits where it was like the police flashing lights or whatever thing. That was pretty cool. It was fun.
It was good.
I enjoyed it. It's going to be out on DVD soon. I was going to say, would you go see it in theaters? But, I mean, it's not going to even be in theaters for very much longer.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's one of those small art house movies.
It's a small movie anyway. Yeah, you could just go ahead and wait and see it on the red box.
It was nice to see it on the big screen, but I don't think it's necessary.
Right, exactly. The guy who directed it, wrote and directed, John Watts.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that Disney got to do the Spider-Man movie.
Nice.
It's pretty crazy. He's going from Cop Car to Spider-Man.
Well, it is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, Chris.
Is it?
79%.
All right.
Average rating is 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10? That's around what I would put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd give it 7 out of 10. What's the consensus?
Cop Car boasts a terrific premise and a grimly gripping opening act. And for some viewers, that will be enough to compensate for the movie's uneven denouement.
Denouement. I didn't think it was an uneven denouement. I thought it was fine. I was wondering how exactly are they going to end this.
Yeah.
And then...
The ending was good.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. The visually, what was going on, what it represented to the kid, I thought it was all pretty good. I'll probably do like a spoiler paragraph a little bit about that on my written review that'll be up on ChrisCrespo.com in the next day or so. So, yeah. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cop Car. See what's up with this John Watts guy with the rest of his career, because that's an interesting start.
Yes, sir. All
right, so we're going into the top five now?
Uh-huh.
What's in the top five?
Number five this week, Mission Colon Impossible - Rogue Nation.
Holy shit.
Had a weekend gross of $4.15 million, total of 188.
188?
On a budget of 150.
188. So probably, if it's still at number five, it'll probably get to 200. It'll crawl to 200, especially once it gets to the second run theaters, the dollar theaters and stuff like that. Yeah, hey, that's good. I like it. You can check out our spoiler bonus episode we did a couple weeks ago.
Six weeks ago.
That makes sense because it came out 6 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Drew's got the numbers right there. All right, good job. What's number four?
Number four this week, A Walk in the Woods.
Walk in the Woods.
Had a weekend gross of $4.6 million, total of $19.8 on an unlisted budget.
So I call into the Curtis Earth Show every week, WPRK, 91.5 FM.
Yes.
I'm at 6:30, talk to him about movies. And he's had his own kind of a show revamp over there a bit with new people helping him out.
Okay.
And Erica Lee, who was on the local radio here for years and years, she's coming in and helping him out, co-hosting the show.
Okay.
And she mentioned that she saw this movie and thought it was okay, like amusing, but she didn't sound at all like into it or like that she would even necessarily recommend it to people.
Well, I mean, Nick Nolte and...
She liked Nick Nolte in it. She said he was good. Redford.
Robert Redford as old men on a hiking trail.
On a hiking trail. Well, apparently it's Redford trying to convince Nolte to go on the trip or something like that.
Okay.
Anyway. She said it was okay.
Coming in number three this week.
Yeah, that's all I got on that one.
War Room had a weekend gross of 7.4 million, total of 39 on a budget of three.
War Room, that's still making
Christian
that money.
Exploitation.
Yeah, good for them. I mean... Apparently, it has a horrible message in it. I read some articles where some people are like, this movie deeply offends me on a secular humanist level.
Well, it made almost $40 million, so you can fuck off.
You can go fuck off. They got their message out there to the people who want to hear it.
Yep. Coming at number two this week, The Visit.
Okay, here we go.
Had a weekend gross of $25.7 million, same as the total budget of $5
Wow. It worked.
Yes.
Shyamalan plus Blumhouse worked.
Yes.
$5 million budget. Yeah.
And boom, 25. You just, man, multiplied your money by five.
That's got to be a lot of salaries and catering and stuff, because that didn't look like, for these kind of movies,
Shyamalan.
It could have been like a $2-3 million. Yeah, I think he got his cut. I think he got paid.
They probably just gave him a flat fee.
But no, he would be smart enough to know that these are the kind of movies where you want a little bit of the back end. Negotiate it. Like, give me $1 million. Your budget's five, give me $1 million. I normally get paid $5 to $10 million for a movie.
Yeah, so you pay me $1 million now,
give
and
million,
I'll take the rest off the back.
And then I'll take some 10% of that back. Yeah. So, like, he just made, like, another 2.5 this weekend, something like that, right? Pulling these numbers out of thin air. Numbers, thin air. Look at all these numbers. 24, good for it. Good for him. First hit he's had in a while, relatively speaking, even opening at number two, which is perfectly fine. 25 million, that means probably gets like 60 million or so here. And what, another 100, 150 overseas? Come on.
God damn.
The Visit 2. Can they even make a Visit 2? The Visit prequel of some sort?
No, but they might bring Shyamalan back for a different Blumhouse production.
Yes. Yeah. Give him another $5, $6 million. Come up with one of his
maybe,
own. Because he wrote it.
Or maybe they'll up his budget. Maybe they'll double his budget.
For him. Like, we'll break our rules just for you because that's how you get in trouble. You don't stick to your own rules, that's how you start getting in trouble.
You gotta
know when to break your rules. Well, so Shyamalan, this guy.
Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Shyamalan.
I see dead people.
He sees dead people. People love that movie. Unbreakable, good movie. Signs, right?
Sure.
And then after The Village, it went downhill. Lady in the Water.
Yeah, you know,
Happening.
I didn't mind The Village so much. And even the twist, for some reason, I was okay with it.
The twist, I understood the twist.
It was lame, but
yeah,
I was okay with it.
I just wanted to be a straight-up monster movie. If I had the choice between that twist and these things being actual monsters...
Oh, give me the monsters all the way.
Yeah, give me a weird monster movie, because this movie is tense and weird and creepy and all. The simple explanation for the whole thing. It's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Lady in the Water, did not like it, and felt it was his most pretentious film. Did not see Last Airbender. See, we need to see The Last Airbender so then we can do a Shyamalan full-on Crespediso Film School bonus episode and really get into these movies.
I don't want to see it.
We got to, though. We got to put it into perspective.
But I don't want to.
Because how do we know? How do we know if that is worse?
But I didn't see Lady in the Water either. I got so many movies I'd have to watch.
You didn't see Lady in the Water?
Fuck that. There's some chick in Paul Giamatti's pool. I don't care.
A mermaid of some sort.
Whatever.
And some dude has like one arm's all muscular and the other arm's really skinny.
That's fine. He must masturbate too much.
And M. Night Shyamalan is, he plays a guy who's a writer who's told that his writings are going to change the world for the better, but then he's going to be assassinated.
Well, he doesn't get assassinated, and his writings definitely don't do anything for the better.
Not lately.
I mean, he got everybody once. Really good.
I like the Unbreakable.
I see dead people.
I like Unbreakable. He did a superhero comic book origin movie before that was the thing to do.
But not based on any comic book or superhero.
Which makes it even better because then that's where the sucker punch comes from.
Straight up sci-fi.
Yeah. It's like fucking, oh shit, this is comic book things. And then when you watch the movie a second time, you're like, oh yeah, the movie does open with a big 3-paragraph scrawl about the popularity of comic books. And how much copies get sold every year.
Heroes and Villains.
Yes. Yeah. I like that one. Signs was pretty good. It's got some dopey parts. the resolution isn't too hot, and the whole overall thing with they're aliens that are allergic to water, but they come to a planet 75% water. That's really, that doesn't really track too well. But in the village, again, like we said, after the village, I feel like it's real nosediving quality. After Earth and Last Airbender were his two like studio for hire things.
I never saw Airbender.
After Earth.
And the only thing I liked about After Earth was the production design.
Yeah, it looked cool. There's some cool stuff. Looking like the suits.
It looked cool. The suits were cool. The spaceships were cool. The monsters were cool. The weapons were cool.
Yeah.
Jaden Smith can't act, and Will Smith was not at his best.
He's not much of an actor, and Will Smith wasn't doing much. Yeah. So, with that being said, then The Visit is kind of like...
Coming back.
A bit of, a step in the right direction. He did write this movie, and with Blumhouse, he got, with the limited budget, it came full creative control. So it was the first time in a while that he's made the movie that he's wanted to make from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely like his style of like a Twilight Zone type thing, It's weird, and you feel like there's some decent explanations going on, but then like the twist gets thrown in, and you're like, oh shit, that's what's going on,
Would you watch M. Night Shyamalan's The Twilight Zone?
Yeah. I absolutely would.
Put on HBO right now.
I absolutely would.
Come on, give me the money.
Give him the money, Hollywood. Drew knows. Give him the money to give the Shyamalan to make an anthology series. I would totally watch an anthology series produced by Shyamalan, like another version of Black Mirror, because that's what Black Mirror is. Mm-hmm. And, I would even think The Visit would have been a good half hour or hour episode. Maybe yet an hour and a half with The Visit, like as opposed to Cop Car with The Visit. I felt that was one that was maybe padded out just a little bit.
Yeah.
Get it to that hour and a half length. It was definitely an idea that would have worked better in a shorter form.
Yeah.
But I thought it was still good. And the lady who plays the grandma, she was pretty amazing.
I'm sure she plays a really sweet old lady / psycho killer.
Yeah, she's good. She's really good at going back and forth. Not necessarily a psycho killer, just weird.
Possessed.
Not even...
perhaps.
I don't even want to really say because the marketing does leave it open as to what's going on.
But do you find out what's going on?
Absolutely.
Okay, so there is some sort of resolution to that end.
For a found footage movie, I felt a satisfying one.
Okay.
But the thing with it being a quote found footage movie, it's not found footage because the movie is edited. The whole point of the concept of the found footage in this movie is that the little girl who had her and her brother going to visit the grandparents, and she is documenting the whole thing with her camera.
Yeah.
The little girl, she's like 14, 15. And she wants to, she wants to be a filmmaker. She wants to be a documentary filmmaker. So she's making a documentary based on her trip.
Yeah.
But as the movie is going, even right away, she's interviewing her mom and stuff before the trip. And the interview with her mom is intercut with footage of her mom, from across the room, folding clothes and stuff. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay.
So this little girl survived to edit this.
This is all edited. And then there's title cards and shit. It's like Monday morning in big red letters across the screen. And then there's scenes of
post-production.
And there's ironic edits and stuff. Oh. Someone says something and then it cuts to something else that's humorous. There's some humor in the movie, too, that helps a lot. So, yeah, if you're paying attention to this genre and what's going on, you conclude either that the girl survived to make the movie, because that's what we're watching, or she doesn't survive, the footage is indeed found, and then some callous, soulless asshole
edited it themselves.
Edited it and made it into some sort of sappy movie with title cards and everything, in which case that person's a shitty person, and then you're a shitty person for watching that movie.
Well, good job, Shyamalan, and you're a shitty person, Chris. Coming in at number one this week.
Wait, what was the Rotten Tomato on that one?
The Rotten Tom, 62%. Fresh-ish.
Yeah. I would give it a 6 out of 10.
5.7.
5.7, yeah.
The Visit provides horror fans with a satisfying blend of thrills and laughs, and also signals a welcome return to form for writer-director M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
I wouldn't call it a full return to form.
A welcome return to form. A
welcome return. I still don't even call it a return to form necessarily. Like I said, a step in the right direction to Shyamalan making some satisfying stuff. The pilot episode of Wayward Pines is pretty good. Show ended up being kind of.
Coming in number one this week, The Perfect Guy.
Oh, yeah, no.
Had a weekend gross of $26.7 million.
Oh, just edged out The Visit.
Same as the total on a budget of $12 million.
Okay. Looked like a cheap movie. Looked like this looks like a 90s late 80s, early 90s.
Wasn't Jennifer Lopez just in this movie?
Right? With the boy next door?
There we go.
They keep making these movies.
Sure.
With the woman that attracts the wrong guy, or the guy that attracts the wrong woman.
Uh-huh. Fatal Attraction.
And it turns, exactly. Exactly, and it turns violent. And you know what? $26 million opening weekend? There's a reason they keep making these movies.
Yep.
Right? They keep, because people keep turning up to see them.
Well, according to the Rotten Tomatoes, it is rotten as fuck, Chris. We got 31%.
Oh, that's not good.
Average rating of 5.2 out of 10. Good. Critics' consensus?
Mm-hmm.
No consensus yet.
Oh, why? Because there's not enough.
Only 13 reviews counted, 4 fresh, 9 rotten.
Okay, well then, even then, out of 13 reviews, those numbers don't mean much then. So The Perfect Guy, definitely a type movie where you can just have to see it for yourself. I just say, just watch the trailer, the first trailer, where there's no dialogue, and they show you 90% of the movie without dialogue.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie right there. Quick. If they added just the 30 more seconds and showed us the end of the movie, and it was a 3-minute...
5-minute short?
Yeah, not even, like a 3.5-minute music video type silent short. I would have been like,
sweet,
standing up, sign bravo! Bravo! I would have cheered that one on. Like, that's amazing. But, I don't think the movie's that way. I don't think it's like Fatal Attraction meets The Artist.
Yeah, probably not.
We need to make that.
Do it.
New movies coming out on DVD this week. We have the live-action version of Cinderella, which made a ton of money. Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella.
Oh, yeah, Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella.
Yeah, made a bunch of money.
Oh, no. Disney's Kenneth Branagh's
Cinderella. That is correct. Cinderella. Get the ownership correct.
My mistake.
On that one. Love and Mercy, that... Brian Wilson movie with Paul Dano as young Brian Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
John Cusack as old Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
That comes out on DVD. It's supposed to be a pretty good movie.
Sweet.
So get a chance to check that out. And there's a little movie called Furious 7.
Tiny little movie.
Tiny, it'd be a little movie. Fourth or fifth highest grossing film worldwide of all time.
Yes.
Comes out on DVD. And if you actually get it on DVD, then you get all those, I think through iTunes too, you can get all the special features that shows all the making of stuff, the stunt stuff. Because a lot of the stunt work is real, you know. They try to do as much as real as possible, and apparently, the key. I read this article. The key to the last couple of Fast and Furious movies, the action and the stunt work being so crazy and cool, is because they hired this stunt crew that's been doing this shit since like the '80s.
Uh huh.
Yeah, like at least the early '80s or something. And they're a bunch of do-it-yourselfers. Like they taught themselves how to do it. They started from the bottom up. And to this day, they're still all about doing things as real as possible. That's why they insisted on, like, they wanted to throw planes out of airplanes, or cars out of airplanes. Like, we're really fucking doing this.
We're doing this, guys.
You know, and they're like, we need to airdrop cars into a mountain range. And they're like, look, we'll just do that on a flat plane, and then we'll CGI the cliffs. And they're like, no, we're going to the mountains. And we're putting cars on cranes, and we're releasing them, and we're dropping them, and we're going to film them. We're going to film them with cameras.
Yes.
Like men.
Like real men.
And women, and real women. Because there's some women here too.
Like real people.
Like humans. Human secularism. The new great philosophers. Coming soon. Teaser.
But you said no. I'm so confused
I didn't say no. I just said it's going to be a lot of work.
It should be done. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So, Furious 7 is coming on DVD. Mm-hmm. What's coming on in theaters?
Oh, let's see. There's this tiny little movie I'm sure you've never heard of called Everest.
Everest, the mountain movie.
With Jason Clarke and...
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
I think it's Gyllenhaal, actually.
Whatever.
I know, right? Crazy. Change your name to Smith or something, dude.
Anyway, that comes out.
I want to see it.
So do I. Looks interesting.
Yeah.
Maze Runner Colin the Scorch Trials.
Welcome to the Scorch.
Unfortunately, we have to see this because I saw the first one.
The Scorch.
We made...
And the first one's pretty good. And it's the same director.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the first one.
Well, we'll see.
Despite the Glade, the Runners, the Grievers. We call them the Grievers. You'll never survive in the Scorch.
Also, Sicario comes out this weekend.
I want to see that, for sure.
I'm looking forward to that as well.
The director of Prisoners and Enemy.
Mm-hmm. And then this tiny little Johnny Depp movie called Black Mass.
I want to see that tiny Black Mass. But it doesn't sound right.
No, that sounded awful.
I want to see it.
So that's four movies to watch next weekend.
Might have to split some of them up between this weekend and next weekend. Because also, at the Enzian, I believe next weekend is when they're showing the midnight screenings of Turbo Kid, which I gotta see.
You have to.
Gotta see Turbo Kid.
Yeah.
And I think also playing next weekend is the Lily Tomlin movie Grandma, and I think that's only going to be around for a week or so, and it's supposed to be really good.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, yeah, we can switch it up then, because next week nothing good comes out.
All right, excellent. So we're about that when we get there. Time for my favorite segment of every show. It's everyone's favorite segment. The Doctor is in. Time for that Dr. Drew's 2 cents. And Drew, as he gets prepared, listen to the intro.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away, sir.
This week, Chris, I just want to congratulate you on your Douglas Movies thing. It was fun. It was awesome. You did a great job. You know, thanks for everyone for supporting Chris and me. And if you're a new listener from the Douglas Movies, awesome. Welcome.
If you're still listening.
This is us.
If you're still listening, we might be winning you over by this point. And we appreciate it.
Yes, and that's it. That's all I got.
Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. Wonderful 2 cents as always. I love the preparation you put into these things.
Zero.
Okay, it's break time here. Let's take a quick break. I just finished my OBP squared. I'm going to get a second one, and that could spell trouble for the second half of the show. If you know what I'm talking about. 11%, yo. 11%, yo.
I know. It's like drinking wine.
It's barley wine. But it's so good. It goes down so smooth. It's cold. When it hits your lips, it's so delicious. So every week we take a break at Crespo Disco, listen to a couple songs from movie soundtracks, movie-related stuff. And I realized as we sat down to record that I really didn't have anything prepared for the Crespo Disco this week. See, there's the 11% kicking in right there. Crespo Disco this week. And so here is something random and exciting and recognizable. So I'm sure you all enjoy. And we'll be back with the second half of the show. Here we go.
It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespedizo, and we want you and Drew to know we really, 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 really dig it. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespedizo, and we want you and Drew to know we really dig it. Oh, you, oh, and you and Drew get aroused by previews, and now both of you, oh, we smell like popcorn. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespedizo, and to the movies we go, primarily because you pick them. There you go.
Thank you. Hey,
that was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Curtis. That was fantastic. Thank you, sir.
What's up? It's your boy, Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespedizo,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Let's get into this. Why do you feel like, oh, if I have a baby, it's fail? Why don't you think you'll have kids? I mean, you're.
I don't want a kid.
What? I mean, but why not?
Well, if you can avoid it, don't do it, dude. It's expensive as shit.
Oh, that's not about the money, though. Well, you can't put a price on.
Oh, hell yeah, it's about the money.
You
that
can't
shit.
Put a price on.
What?
Strawberries and bananas. Come on, yeah. Man. You can't put a price on that.
Listen to the SBK Live Show, SBKLive.fm, or on iTunes, or on Stitcher Radio, or on Stitcher Radio, or on Stitcher Radio, or on Stitcher Radio, or on Stitcher
Radio. Welcome to the Crespo Show.
We are back. We are back, just like you said we would be. It is me, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Drew Zakaiber. Drew, how's it going?
What up, dude?
There you go. They're your people. Say hello.
My.
Your supporters. Your supporters. It just says supporters on here. This is, there's no Nazi nothing on this thing.
It sounds like a bunch of Nazis.
They're just happy to see you. They're supporting you. You're a good guy.
I'm just saying.
Get the plugs out of the way, ChrisCrespo.com. Please go there for stuff such as Cinema Crespo, movie reviews. More episodes of Cinema Crespedizo.
More movie reviews.
And more movie reviews, as well as links to the Instagram and Facebook pages for Cinema Crespedizo. And my Twitter page at I Am Chris Crespo. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 all over the internet.
Follow him! Antihero419, do it! Say hello! He will probably ignore you. The email for the show is cinemacrespedizo@gmail.com. Feel free to... Oh, this is funny. It just reminded me. So I put out there, you know, free stickers. If you want stickers for free, we have a whole box of stickers over here.
So many stickers.
Email us, cinemacrespedizo@gmail.com. Give us your mailing address, and we'll send you a whole bunch of stickers for free.
Yep.
You can stick them around town, wherever you are, take pictures of them, tag us on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that, and then we'll repost them and share them. The whole world will see them. That's part of the fun. But when I do that, I do like put out Instagram posts and tweets, letting people know you can get your free stickers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people follow those hashtags, free sticker hashtags, stuff like that. And I get a bunch of requests from people, email requests
for
free stickers based on those posts as opposed to people listening to the show. And you can always tell because their emails are written in such a way that it's always like, I am a big product of your company / brand, and I really enjoy your products. Will you please send me stickers so I can blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you enjoy our products, do you now, really? Mm-hmm.
Our multiple products.
And I got enough of those emails where I was like, you know what? I'm going to reply to these. I'm going to say, yeah, sure, we'll love to send you stickers, but first let us know what it is you like about our company.
Uh-huh.
What about our products do you like?
Yes.
And I got one response.
Mm-hmm.
The initial email was, hi, my name is blah, blah, blah. I'm a sticker collector. I love your company products. And I'm just wondering if you can send me free stickers so I can put on my stuffs like bike, helmet, skateboards, anything that I own so I can represent your company to my friends, neighbors, and to my YouTube channel that I have 10,382 subscribers so that many people know the good quality of your products. And that's all my mailing address down below. The mailing address is in the Philippines.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Opie. You're going to send me free stickers so many people know your company. Our company, your Cinema Crespedizo. So I say thank you very much for sending stickers. What is your favorite of our company products and why are you such a big fan? Response. Here we go. What products of your company that I like the products that I really, really fan of your company is the product name is, that's straight up, Cinema Crespedizo baseball jersey t-shirt. Why you loved that product, I love that product because it's very durable and it's 100% cotton and it's standard fit. Why you are such a big fan, I'm a big fan of your company because your company making the great products like t-shirt, baseball jersey, and hoodie sweatshirt.
So we make all those things?
Apparently we do. And they're 100% like some because they're 100% cotton and they're standard fit.
Nice.
So I don't think I'll be sending this person.
You don't want to send our stickers to the Philippines?
I guess I'll send some stickers anyway. They answered the question.
They did.
The other ones didn't answer the questions.
Screw them.
So this one answered. Okay, I'll send
it. Even if his answers were totally wrong.
I'll send the stickers to the Philippines. I think they might be referencing the Cinema Crespedizo shirt.
But it's not a baseball jersey.
No. Maybe we don't have a hooded sweatshirt. Maybe they found our cafe press site that we don't use.
Ever.
It's out there, though, people. If you want a flask with a Cinema Crespedizo logo on it.
It exists.
It's available.
I think. Maybe. Is it still available?
I think.
I don't think we ever finished setting it up.
No. Can't have to look into that. We're going to have to look into that. So, okay, here we go. Like I said, email us, cinemacrespedizo@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Crespedizo. And find us on Facebook at Cinema Crespedizo. What should we do? What should we do? Billy D's. That's at the movies.
It's up to you, bro.
Is it up to me?
It's your show.
Oh, okay. Then here we go. Billy D's Death of the Movies is every week. Just like now, Billy D is our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. He hits us up with his reviews of movies that he watches in New York City. Representing. Cinema Crespedizo. So here we go, Drew. You ready?
What is up, my dude?
What's up, Billy?
Congrats on the DLM appearance, Chris.
Oh, what a nice game.
It was a great show, and of course, you won. Thank you. No shocker there.
Spoiler alert. Thank you.
I'm sure Paul loves all his swag. Pats on the back all around.
Oh, yeah, the whole that thing with the signs.
Yeah.
I did, like Paul shared his sign, because you have to pick a sign to see who you play for swag. Paul shared his sign online, and he was smart enough to tag me in it, so I knew what the sign looked like. Nate, Mr. Nathan, did the same thing. Fast food Nathan sign, little cardboard sign. I saw those two. And a third person who had signs that didn't have anything Cinema Crespedizo on them, but still tweeted me and Doug Benson his signs that for the show. I had the four of those memorized. Because I was up there internally panicking, freaking out, hoping I didn't look like a complete doofus and that the worst shit wouldn't spill in my mouth. Or I wouldn't freeze up. Or I would hyperventilate. Or just become a horrible sweaty mess that people were like, what is that melty creature doing up there on the stage with these comedians? So avoid like freaking out. I was like, I'm gonna look for these signs. I'm gonna scan and I sat there when they're like people start holding the signs up and there's so many fucking signs.
Yeah.
I sat there seeing as far as I could into the crowd, trying to find any of the signs I saw online. And by the time I finished I started looking. I got to the end to the right. The only one I saw was Paul's sign. He was off to the right. It was a white sign, easy to see in the darkness. I was like, there we go.
Boom.
Boom. So that's why that happened. And then he won. And then he has a bunch of swag.
Yep.
And then you see the picture he put out?
I did.
God damn, that's a lot of
shit. Stuff.
You see it all laid out like that?
Yeah.
God damn. It's a lot of stuff.
So, last night...
Better than the other movies. Here we go.
Last night, I ventured out into the city for a screening of a movie that has been on my radar for a year or so. I sat in the Angelica and experienced nightmarish Lynchian Death at the Movies.
Oh, shit.
I don't know much about Austria or its cinema, but I doubt it's anything like the film Goodnight Mommy.
Oh, I've heard of Goodnight Mommy. I've heard of this.
Likely to draw comparisons to The Babadook by people who didn't understand The Babadook, Goodnight Mommy is a gripping, beautiful, and hellish descent into Crazy Town.
Whoa.
You may have seen the trailer, which went semi-viral recently and was hailed as the scariest trailer of all time or something.
I haven't seen the trailer, but he's right. There were a bunch of like blog posts and articles about this incredibly scary trailer. But then that got followed up quickly by another movie called Witch. And people were like, this is the scariest movie trailer ever. I don't know. It felt kind of ridiculous. Anyway.
It's a good trailer, but it sells the movie as something it's not.
Oh.
It's a slow burn.
I like a slow burn.
An examination of familial deterioration. Mm-hmm. It's a stunning film, too. One of the best shot indies I've seen all year. Very much like Blue Ruin in its minimalist style and gorgeous cinematography.
Huh.
All this only adds to the horror. The creeping Cronenbergian horror of twin boys who believe that the bandaged woman who returns from the hospital after an accident is not their mother. This is how a horror film is made. Some movies are enhanced by music and sound, others by a lack of it. With no musical cues, you don't know what to feel, so you just feel... With no musical cues, you don't know what to feel, so you just feel mounting, pants-shitting terror.
Ah.
The last time I remember noticing a lack of score or music this much was in a movie was Visitor Q. I think that was probably just to make it as awkward as humanly possible.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Make you feel like you're actually watching something.
Well,
I think the same with the extremely lo-fi video quality.
Mm-hmm.
To make you feel as real as possible.
I can't really say enough good things about this movie. It's going to feature on my year-end list.
Huh.
In a year already filled with great indie genre flicks like Ex Machina and It Follows,
uh-huh.
Goodnight Mommy is a great addition. See it, wear brown pants, stay cool, Billy D.
Deadpool.
Yep.
Perfect there. I've been hearing a little bit about Goodnight Mommy online, uh-huh. For sure. Definitely, you know, it's definitely on the radar. You know how I am with the horror films. Like,
yes.
It has to have like a lot of buzz behind it for me to be into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am looking forward to this one. And funny, also second Blue Ruin reference of the show.
Yes, yeah. Blue Ruin was a good one this year.
It's a damn good one.
Yeah,
technically it's the last year.
Still really good.
The guy who made that one, his new movie's coming out, I think, next year,
mm-hmm.
with Patrick Stewart.
Okay.
And it's about a bunch of dudes stuck in a club. It's like Hateful Eight, but in modern times, and instead of a bunch of cowboys, there's like a white supremacist punk rock band and a bunch of dudes that don't want to be there with them.
Interesting.
Yeah. Thanks, Billy. We appreciate it. Let's get into... Actually, you know what? Since I mentioned movie news, let's just get the movie news out of the way.
All right.
Because I only have a couple stories. This time of year, it's like the movie news is kind of slow.
Well, it's death in the movies.
It is true, death in the movies, because it's like the end of summer, Labor Day, and... Oh, shit.
Here we go.
This time. Choose the guy who went first to work. Choose the guy who went first to work. Yeah, so I only have three stories here.
Okay.
So we'll do that, and then we'll do the Vox Populi. And then we'll call it a day. Let's see. You are 10-3 after losing to Mr. Earth. I have to go back and check the records because we were thinking that he did 4 appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 3-1. But he did 5 appearances. So, because I went back and checked. So I'm going to have to listen to those real quick. So you're 10-3. Still a very impressive record. Let's get sparring around going here. I am going to try to book as many guests as I can from now through the end of the year. So be prepared for trivia madness.
All right.
So this game, after last week's loss, I want to kind of ease you back into a little bit. Bit of a bounce back game. Feel like you're going to do well in this one. It's a fill in the blank game. The Colors Edition.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the title. You tell me the color that's missing.
Gotcha.
And this is in honor of the Green Inferno. I'm just coming out.
Soon.
Which has funny marketing in which they don't show any of the movie.
Yes. Just screams and horror.
Yeah. And sometimes audience reactions. With night vision. Number 1, the Blank Panther.
Pink.
Correct. Number 2, Sword and Blank.
Green.
Correct. Number 3, Single Blank Female.
White.
That's correct. Number 4, the Color Blank.
Purple.
That's correct. Number 5, the Great Blank Hope.
White.
Correct. Number 6, the Blank Cauldron.
Black.
That's correct. Number 7, the Blank Mile.
Green.
That's correct. Number 8, Blank Zone.
Red.
Ooh, green.
No, green.
Green. Matt Damon, green. Number 9, The Thin Blank Line.
Red.
That's correct. And number 10, The Thin Blank Line.
Blue.
That's correct.
I think about it for a second.
9 out of 10. 9 out of 10. Good job. Yeah, there's the Thin Red Line is a war movie.
Yeah,
Thin Blue Line is the police documentary, the Errol Morris film. Oh, that's lightning. Last week's lightning round. Where are we? Oh, that's shit. No. Damn it. I lost my notes. My notes got mixed up. What is your favorite smell?
Fresh baked bread.
What was your first job?
Car wash.
What was your favorite subject in school?
TV production.
Describe your favorite day, your perfect day in 5 words or less.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. You got 2 words left. Just shaking his head no. All right, here we go. Movie news. First off, we kind of alluded to already, Black Mirror.
Yes.
It's been announced that they struck a deal with Netflix.
Yes.
So new episodes of Black Mirror are happening.
Yes.
And they'll be coming straight to the Netflix.
Not only are they happening in America, but I think they're also happening in Britain as well.
I'm sure they are.
Making another season.
It is the same person.
Yes.
The guy who created it in England is the guy who's doing it here in America.
Which is good.
So it's not like we're just taking the name and the concept of Black Mirror and trying to do our own thing. It's an extension of the actual Black Mirror.
Yes. You know. It's Black Mirror USA.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to it. Still got to see that fucking 2014 Christmas special they did. That Hour and a Half Christmas special. That was like 3
yeah.
stories.
Yeah.
And John Hamm was in one of them.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Man. It's not on the Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix, get on it, Netflix. What the fuck?
Netflix.
Netflix. Nutflix. Nutflix.
What?
Huh? You okay? I'm going to drink some more just 11% alcohol.
Yeah, that'll help.
Shout out to Orange Blossom Brewing. OBP. Friend of the show, Tom the Beer Guy.
Delicious stuff.
So, Edgar Wright. He is he of Shaun of the Dead, mm-hmm. World's End, yes. Hot Fuzz, yes. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Uh-huh. Almost Ant-Man.
Almost.
He's working on his current movie.
Okay.
It's a movie called Baby Driver.
Okay.
Here's the description of Baby Driver.
It's a baby that drives.
It's a baby who... Have you remember the movie Baby Geniuses?
Yes.
And you also remember the movie Baby's Day Out?
Yes.
Okay, so imagine a baby. It's a normal baby.
Uh-huh.
And the mafia is trying to kidnap the baby, but it escapes. It like crawls out a window and it hits an awning. Like it falls 20 stories, but it bounces off an awning and then into a fruit cart and then it crawls down the street. And it stumbles into, like, while the mafioso is trying to chase them, they're stumbling over themselves, Three Stooges style. The baby crawls into a laboratory where it gets hit with some brain gamma radiation.
And becomes super smart.
It becomes a baby genius.
Okay.
And he immediately puts on some glasses and a scorpion jacket, gets on the car, and he's the best baby driver you've ever seen. And he doesn't say a word because he's a baby. Yep. Even though he's a genius,
yep.
He still can't talk.
Nope.
He can barely walk. But he can drive the shit out of anything with 4 wheels and a steering wheel.
And he's got leg extensions, right? So he hit the gas pedal.
Yeah, he learns how to rig them up. He's a baby genius. That's part of his baby genius. He rigs up foot extensions, stilts, to reach the pedals.
All right.
And then he's just like, little chubby arms. They can barely hold the steering wheel. But he's like, doing K-turns and shit. All right. Hollywood, give us money. Edgar Wright's movie, Baby Driver, is not that cool. But it is still kind of cool sounding, though.
Okay.
It's blah, 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 blah. Where's the thing? Where's the thing? Okay. So apparently there's this thing called an Ansel Elgort.
Okay.
Apparently some sort of young actor. But I would have been convinced if it was a 1933 jalopy of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Come see my new Ansel Elgort. Steam Powell, I tell you. It's a way of the future. He... And the girl from Cinderella are in a movie in which... Oh, here you go. Elgort plays a driver who's a young mute who suffers from a condition that leaves a constant ringing in his ears. In order to drown out the noise so he can perform at his best, he relies on his own personal soundtrack. Then he becomes a getaway driver for a group of bank robbers. After the heist goes sour, he is forced to go on the run. The girl plays his love interest, a waitress at a diner.
So it's a Drive prequel.
So it's a Driver movie. It's, remember, I'm telling you, we got these movies set on the counter. Two-lane blacktop, mm-hmm. Vanishing Point.
Yeah.
The Driver.
Same stuff.
Yeah, we gotta, like, if you truly want to appreciate Baby Driver, we gotta watch these movies. Because guarantee, like, Edgar Wright knows those movies inside and out. He's gonna be referencing them and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want full appreciation of what he's doing, you gotta know where he's coming from. He's that type of guy. Yeah. It's like watching Shaun of the Dead. If you know Day of the Dead, or Dawn of the Dead, Romero's Dawn of the Dead.
Then you know Shaun of the Dead.
Then you know, like, yeah. And then the things that they're, the direct shout-outs of Shaun of the Dead, which, if you don't know Dawn of the Dead, it's not like these things stand out as being weird. They just go over your head.
Yeah.
But if you know where it's coming
like,
from,
hey,
it's like, oh, that's ingenious use of that music or that line of dialogue, mm-hmm. or this or that, or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. It's what Tarantino does. You know, what people are like, oh, he's a thief. Some people are like, he's a thief because he's stealing all the shit from these old movies. But those people are a bunch of sour grapes motherfuckers because it's like, you don't even know what movies he's referencing. Sure, yeah. He's referencing movies, but you can't name more than half a dozen of them. Mm-hmm. He's going so obscure with some of this shit. He's pulling out, like, he's cherry picking the best bits. Fucking professionals, man.
And they steal.
Yeah, they're the best. So, Baby Driver. And I bring that up because this Ansel Elgort, Amber Carmine Fitch thing is the lead. But it looks like joining the cast as probably the villain is Jamie Foxx.
Interesting.
Jamie Foxx's first go around with Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
Could be good.
Could be.
A good team up of artists there, artistic intents. Mm-hmm. Edgar Wright calls the movie the ultimate rock and roll car chase film.
Sounds good.
Sounds fun. Sounds like good times. We talk about the Black Mirror. Now, this is interesting. I think we mentioned this on the show before, too. Suspected that this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the King Kong prequel movie.
Okay.
Skull Island. Yes. Right? Kong : Skull Island. That's coming out. And that is set up through Legendary. Legendary, who was working with Universal, like when they did... No, they're working with Warner Brothers. I'm sorry. Legendary is working with Warner Brothers. And then... they got the rights to King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
They're teaming up with... what's some faces?
Warner Brothers?
With Warner Brothers again. To do the mashup of King Kong and Godzilla.
Sweet.
Because it's, you know, they did it before.
Yeah.
A few times. But it hasn't been done in a while.
Nope.
And not done the modern way.
Correct.
So we have a full-on planned Godzilla versus King Kong movie coming out through Legendary and Warner Brothers. And
hey, it's Legendary.
Universal's got to be involved.
It's Legendary and Warner Brothers. Let's throw in the Pacific Rim robots, too.
We can, too, right?
Yep.
They do all that shit. All those giant things.
Oh, that'd be so cool. That'd be so awesome. Yeah.
Why not?
It would be.
They can all exist in the same universe. I don't care.
Yeah.
It would just be like future.
Or maybe...
I get it. The Jaegers, the humans are losing the war against the Kaijus because now they're at like category 15 or whatever. Like, they're too big. We can't do it. And then that's when Godzilla comes up from hibernation because he's like, I may not like the humans that much, but we can't be losing to these goddamn Kaijus.
Yep.
But then he's like, but I need help. And he goes to like the super secret Skull Island prison. Like, at this point, they have King Kong in prison and they like, he busts him out of prison and him and King Kong get together like A-team style, team up with some of the fucking Jaegers and then they fight the Kaiju.
Yes.
Hollywood.
Sounds good.
Ooh, the Jaegers can be driven by like one, because it's two people per thing. One can be like Freddy Krueger and Jason can be teamed up together using one of those giant machines.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
And then like they're, instead of giant cannons, they'll have like finger gloves.
Sweet.
Yeah. These things make sense.
Sure do.
Right? Do they? No? You don't sound too excited about it. You don't sound...
I mean, it sounds like
you don't sound
idea.
Convinced.
I like the idea, but...
It was your idea.
You know.
It was your idea, Drew. So they're definitely doing Godzilla 2. Okay. So obviously they're going to be going Kong Skull Island, Godzilla 2, and then find a way to do the two together, King Kong versus Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm down.
King Kong, Battle of Giant Monsters.
Meanwhile, Kong Skull Island's got a pretty good cast so far between Brie Larson, Tom Hiddleston, Toby Kebbell, and Eazy-E and Dr. Dre from Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Jason Mitchell and Corey Hawkins are both in it, as well as Samuel L. Jackson, Tom Wilkinson, and John C. Reilly.
Whoa.
That's a diesel cast for Kong Skull Island, which I have, like, no interest in seeing whatsoever.
Well, maybe.
I have no interest in seeing it.
Maybe you do now.
With the cast makes me interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think it's directed by a guy who did The Kings of Summer. I don't know. This is a weird thing with these guys that do these tiny little movies. These little...
And then they're given these giant franchise pieces.
They make these movies that cost them $10,000 to make. And they're like, here, make this $200 million movie for us. And I'm sure it'll go perfectly fine.
Yeah, no.
Not always. Ask Josh Trank about that one. Poor guy. Poor dude. For every Colin Trevorrow, there's like five Josh Tranks. That's for the film nerds out there. All right, let's get into... let's do for the final segment of the show. The show is for the people. We're all about the people. It's the people's voice.
The people.
By the people, for the people. That's no one else's thing. I don't want to get sued by those people.
The people.
Email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, or tweet us or Facebook us or whatever, however you want to get in touch with us. But send us your questions, your movie reviews, your topics, your Crespo Dome battles, and then we will read them in the segment known as the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
I should have made that longer.
Should have.
I would have kept listening.
But you didn't.
But I didn't.
Good
so
job,
it's over.
Chris.
That means it's time for the Vox Populi.
Fucking it up.
Fucked it up. Drewster Cogburn, here we go.
Coming in on Twitter, at Mr. Nathathon has a mini review for us.
Fast Food Nathan.
Yep. Unfriended.
Oh, Unfriended. Yeah, Billy did Billy Deesa's movies that had 3 weeks ago.
Surprisingly good. It's a fun concept that kept my attention all the way through.
Okay.
Not the best end, though.
Oh, see, but he got a sick ending on movies like that. That's kind of why I liked The Visit, because I felt like it concluded in a way that's like, oh, it works. It works for what they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to a lot of these found footage movies, which I think you can consider Unfriended to be like a cinema verite type thing, as Billy Dee calls it, the cinema verite horror. I expected unsatisfying ending. I expected it to just end and not really have an answer, because the footage then has to be found or something like that, some bullshit like that. So,
whatever.
But it'd be like Unfriended, that's cool. All right. I remember Billy liked it.
He did.
Yeah.
He thought it was good.
Yeah.
Coming in on the Facebook.
Facebook.
Ricardo Perez.
Ricardo.
Thoughts of Ronda Rousey remaking Roadhouse. And we have somebody chimed in.
Okay.
Paul Hine got at that question and said people are also calling for Ronda Rousey to be Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, in the Marvel film. She's a woman who kicks ass doesn't mean she can act.
Okay. Let's unpack this one. So first off, the news broke this week. Ronda Rousey will be playing the bouncer role in a Roadhouse
remake. Yes.
Which, I'm fine with the Roadhouse remake. They're not going to make something that's as batshit crazy and weird as... The reason Roadhouse is a good movie is not because it's necessarily good.
No.
But it is so of its time. It's just a weird confluence of...
I really want them
strange
to use
dialogue
the,
weird characters.
I used to fuck guys like you in prison on Ronda Rousey. How does that work?
Yeah, see? That's weird. That's strange. Yeah. I don't want to say stuff like that.
Or maybe the chick says it this
maybe
time.
She says
I used to
it.
Fuck girls like you in prison.
The girl's like, oh, that's yeah, see, it's that movie is so strange. Ben Gazzara is the bad guy, and the monster truck through the car dealership, and like the weird final fight, the final scene that happens at a house where it's like dead animals everywhere. And Patrick Swayze is like ripping out throats with his bare hands and shit.
So strange.
And Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Sam Elliott.
What the fuck?
What the fuck, Sam Elliott? That's such a weird movie.
It is.
So are they going to do like a straight remake? Or are they going to try to do their own weirdness?
Like I said, in which case, that line's going to be strange.
Yeah, right? I don't know. But, you know, for a role like that, I think Ronda Rousey would be good. It's not like she'd be asked to do that much. She just has to be a badass on screen. And look convincing in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And she's already proven that in Furious 7.
Yeah.
And Expendables 3.
Yes.
In action movies, she's fine. You know? I wouldn't be expecting her to do that much emotional. I guess in the Entourage movie, she played slightly vulnerable when the whole thing with Turtle went weird. That went sideways.
That whole subplot was
it was an stupid and underdeveloped. That made no sense. Yeah, overall, it was very stupid. Yeah. But it was her like not relying on just being a badass.
Uh-huh.
They have to remake a Roadhouse movie. I don't know. They don't have to remake anything. They can always make an original. But of course, they can go in for nostalgia and the built-in audience and stuff like that.
We'll see if it works out for them.
We will see if it works out.
I have a feeling it won't.
And then to Paul's point, sure, she's a badass, but does that mean she can act?
Not at all.
She's not much of an actress. No. She's just playing herself so far in this movie. You know?
Yeah.
But it's nothing new, though. They've been... Some of my favorite movies are based on people that were not actors when they had their start. They had to learn how to act over the course of movies. Mm-hmm. And some of them never really learn how to act. They just kept
being themselves.
I'm thinking specifically of people like Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. You know, these guys were martial artists and fucking... Van Damme was a dancer. He wasn't even a martial artist. He was a dancer when they got with him. And, you know, Bloodsport's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. It's a good one.
It's so stupid, but it's so good. It's indefensible, but I love it. I absolutely love it. So, yeah, sure. Why not do the same thing with Ronda Rousey? I'm fine with it. It's not like... It's not like she's taking away roles from other people or anything, I guess.
No.
Is she? And then there's another thing, too, with the whole thing with professional fighters being in movies.
Yeah.
Every time I see him for the first time, it's always like, oh, what are they? Like the A-Team, that dude Rampage was...
It was weird in that.
And then the Expendables movies, again, what's his name? That guy with the cauliflower ear?
Ronda Rousey was in that, too.
Well, she was in the third one.
Yeah.
But who was the dude that was part of the group from the beginning?
Oh, that
Couture. Couture? Yeah. Randy Couture.
Yeah.
He was at least in the second and third one. May have been in the first one.
Probably.
And he was like a big meathead who reads. He's like, oh, the joke is that he's a big dummy, but he's also smart.
Yeah.
We think he's a dummy, but he's smart. It's always weird when you do shit like that.
It is.
Same thing with professional wrestlers. Well, but I think at least professional wrestlers, that is kind of acting.
Yeah. They are acting than actors. Anime. Yeah.
They're tough guy actors.
I mean, that's why The Rock is so convincing on screen. He did it in front of live crowds for how many years?
Yeah. And then he decided to do it in front of a camera. Yeah. But the camera doesn't blink, Drew.
Nope.
That doesn't really mean anything, right? In the context of this conversation.
No, it doesn't.
So, Ronda Rousey in The Roadhouse is okay with me.
All right. Paul Hine also got at us.
Uh-huh.
Asked his own question.
Okay.
Has there been a Crespo Dome battle with any of the following: Chris Evans, Chris Pratt, and Chris Hemsworth? If not, let the ladies' wet dream three-way begin.
All right, Chris, I don't think we've done a Crespo Dome battle of the Chrises. We did do a Drew Sacogburn versus the World game.
Yeah,
that was based on the three Chrises. So,
so we have Captain America versus Star-Lord versus Thor.
Okay. Captain America versus Star-Lord versus Thor. So when we do Crespo Dome battle, you suggest actors, and we do who's a better actor, and then who would win in a fight. So if we're starting with an actor, go ahead, Drew, get us started. Pick an actor.
Let's go. We'll start off with Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
He's done some good work.
Sunshine. He's quite good in that Danny Boyle Sunshine.
Yeah, he was good in Scott Pilgrim.
He is really good in Scott Pilgrim. Played that crazy character, the actor character.
Yeah. Snowpiercer?
Yes, Snowpiercer is good. Yeah, he's good, and he makes good choices, too.
He does.
I mean, as an actor.
He was even good in the, what was that, The Losers?
He was good in The Losers. Losers was an okay movie.
Yeah.
That one didn't catch on, but it was pretty good. Versus Hemsworth. Who, outside of Thor, he is like in Black Hat, which was
Hacker named Hathaway.
A Black Hat Hacker named Hathaway. What else has he been in?
I'm sure he's been in some chick flicks.
Oh, he was okay in Vacation, the comedic role.
He was all right.
He was all right, I guess. And then Chris, who was that third Chris?
Chris Pratt.
Jurassic World.
I mean, Fat Pratt. He used to be Fat Pratt.
He used to be Fat Pratt on the Parks and Rec.
Yep.
But now he doesn't have to be on that show anymore, so he can, like, be fit.
He can be Star-Lord.
He can be Star-Lord. He has to be Star-Lord. Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy. Jurassic World.
I mean, I would probably rate them Evans, Pratt, Hemsworth.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Evans, Pratt, Hemsworth. Yep. Yeah, for acting?
Yeah.
Yeah. But who would in a fight? In a fight? Hemsworth? is a giant. There's a reason why they cast him as Thor.
Yeah, he
He's not always going to be like cycled up on the roids like when he is for Thor.
Yeah,
totally
but
jacked
he's
up.
Still
but natural, like even in Black
Hat. He's naturally a giant Australian.
Yeah, even a Black Hat, and he's Australian. Those Australians do not fuck around. They no fucking around, mate.
Chris Pratt
in the Outback.
Chris Pratt used to be fat.
He used to be fat.
And he used to be a funny guy, too, so I don't think he's much of a fighter.
He's probably not a fighter. He probably got picked on a lot. He used to be fat. He only got ripped recently, and he only learned how to fake fight for one movie, so I don't think he's done enough fake fighting for it to translate to real fighting.
No.
As opposed to Thor and Captain America, who have now had a few movies of fake fighting under their belts,
yes,
respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Evans, another one, who only cycles up for the movies.
Captain America role, yeah.
But as opposed to Hemsworth... Normally speaking, he's like a regular sized dude.
Yeah, maybe slightly above average.
He's like a regular sized American dude. Whereas Hemsworth is still a gigantic Australian. Yeah. So in a fight.
Probably Hemsworth, actually.
I think I would go Hemsworth, Evans, Pratt.
Yeah.
No offense to Pratt. Only recently ripped.
Yeah.
Experience has to play into it too, right?
It does.
So are we going Pratt?
Hemsworth.
Are we going Hemsworth for the fight?
So what is it?
Finish him.
Yeah, Hemsworth wins.
Fatality.
Good job, Chris.
All right.
And Ron Phillips II gets on us.
What's up, Ron? Out there in Colorado.
So Chris doesn't like Lady in the Water, and I love it.
Okay.
I get that a lot with this movie. Do you two have a movie you adore but everyone else hates?
A movie that I adore that everyone else hates?
Speed Racer, Chris.
I guess a lot of people don't like Speed Racer.
Nobody gets it but us.
No one gets it.
We're the only ones that understand.
That's weird. Isn't that weird? People are turning around. There is a small segment of people that are coming around that movie recognizing it for the genius that it is.
It's
Blade Runner.
Car-fu, man. So
the car-fu, the digital camera work. It's so good. Yeah. Such a good movie. Yeah, that's a good call on that one. I know some people don't like Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford just because it's a slow Western.
Wow.
But I'm down with slow Western.
Yeah.
So I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
A
lot of people...
I like more Seagal movies than the average person.
Yeah.
I'm a Seagalogist, an amateur Seagalogist.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get in touch with the head of Seagalogy and find out how I can become a more official Seagalogist.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I put in the time. Right?
Right. You have.
Fucking,
you are a psychologist.
Not for justice, man. Just got the sudden urge to watch it, dude. From start to finish.
Right now.
Right
do it.
Now. He fucking shotguns a guy's leg off right at the knee.
Yeah. Ooh,
it's so awesome.
No.
It is so awesome. How about you get Speed Racer was a good one. Yeah, that was a good suggestion.
No, nobody understands.
No one understands it. Not enough people understand. People, get on that Speed Racer train. With us.
Also,
yep.
He likes Lady in the Water because it reminds him of fantasy / anime. Is there a favorite anime you would like to see done as a movie?
Yeah, sure. I mean, neither of us are the biggest fans of anime.
I mean,
I've seen a few of the classics.
Well, no, exactly. I know the classics that became popular in the late... You know, in the 90s.
Akira.
You know, you're Akira, you're Ghost in the Shell,
yes.
You're Vampire Hunter D.
Yes.
Your,
and those are like the movies.
Your Ninja Scroll.
And then when you got the TV shows, the Dragon Ball, the Gundam Wing, the stuff that they were playing on Cartoon Network.
Exactly. Toonami. 90s.
Toonami, correct.
Was what it was
vaguely
called.
Vaguely Asian sounding Toonami.
Yes, Toonami.
Is that racist to call Toonami?
That was the name of it.
Toons and anime.
Yeah.
Toonami.
Yeah.
Toonami.
I mean, that's where,
fair enough.
That's where you got your Mobile Suit Gundams, your
Cowboy Bebop. Okay, so do we have a favorite one of these I'd like to see?
Personally, you know what? I mean, it's already been... Most of the anime that I'm familiar with are anime movies, so technically they've already been turned into movies.
Sure.
But if you did it like...
Like live action?
Live action? Dude, give me a live action Princess Mononoke.
Oh, man, that's a crazy movie,
Mononoke. We're talking...
That's a great movie.
You know, it is... It's your Lord of the Rings crazy fantasy movies on fucking Japanese steroids.
Yeah. Hayao Miyazaki.
Yes.
I remember seeing
Hayami.
Hayami.
Yes.
I remember sitting down to watch a movie and be like, Princess Mononoke, what the fuck? And then it was over. It's like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
That movie's crazy.
It's so good.
Blew my mind, man.
It did. That was the... No, I saw that one first. And that's what got me kind of into the anime scene at the time. Mm-hmm. And Akira is the one that really just blew me the fuck away.
I was going to say, if I want to see any anime get made into a movie, like a live action, I would have said Dragon Ball. But they made a Dragon Ball movie for years.
It was awful.
And I watched like 20 minutes of it.
Well, it was
on TV.
It looked like the same people who did the Street Fighter movies.
Yes. It looks like that low budget, like just the worst.
Strange action movie.
Just the worst bullshit. So, unfortunately, that soured me on seeing that live action form. I'll just stick to the animated versions of Dragon Ball, right? And they've been trying to make this for a while now, a live-action version. They've had different actors, different producers. They've taken different approaches for a while. It's going to be PG-13, and people are like, that's bullshit. For a while, they were like, we are making an R-rated version, but that fell through. They're still working on it now. A live-action Akira. If they could find a way to translate that, the anime, the movie, not even necessarily the manga, but the movie into a live-action version, but doing it with effects that look amazing, like Cronenbergian style, 80s, like practical effects, or, you know, like The Thing, stuff like that. As opposed to a lot of CG.
Yeah.
If he just becomes a big CG blob monster, then I'm going to check out immediately.
Yeah.
But if it's like they find a way to, like, you know,
actually make a giant pulsing teddy bear that's coming to get you, Chris.
It's like, wow, that's a Comfort City. And they do like a, and then there you can do a mixture of model work, CG city, CG buildings. You can find a way to make it look good. I just don't want it to be fully like, oh, they just went. Like the Thing prequel.
In which case, why aren't we just watching it animated?
Right, I could just watch it animated where it looks gorgeous. It's a beautiful movie, and it's so gorgeous and gross and
red.
Weird. And
very red.
Very red. I would love to see someone try to pull off. But it is such a flummoxing story to people, and it's such a weird movie, the anime and the manga.
Yeah.
That Hollywood's attempts to make into something commercial that makes a lot of money. Because to make the movie properly would cost a lot of money. So obviously they're like, well, then we want to make a lot of money. But if we make this movie,
you're
it's not going to
make
a lot
of money.
Money.
No.
Yeah. So it's never going to happen. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's a conundrum, really. So that's why that's not going to happen. Just like Guillermo del Toro's At the Mountains of Madness. Which is going to be a movie based on the original Lovecraft story, which is about a bunch of explorers, like turn of the century, 19th, 20th century explorers, going into Antarctica, the frozen mountains and the ice, and under expedition, they accidentally unfreeze thousands-year-old Cthulhu monsters.
Sweet.
But then start wrecking havoc on shit up there. You know, like The Thing. The Thing was influenced by that stuff. Guillermo del Toro was trying to make that. You know, but he needed like $100-120 million. It was gonna be a gigantic production, and the studio freaked out. And they're like,
you know what?
Like, this isn't gonna make us any money. This is too weird and gross and strange.
Well, I mean, if his
but it could have though. It could have been
if his Crimson Peak makes money, maybe he can make it.
It could be maybe it could be resurrected.
Yeah, we'll see. Or maybe Crimson Peak is what's left of the aftermath.
Or maybe Crimson Peak will not make money. And then people are like, we're never going to invest.
We're never going to
invest more than $5 million into a horror film ever again.
Yeah.
We'll just go the M. Night Shyamalan The Visit route instead of the $100 million Crimson Peak route.
Yeah.
Crimson Peak, man.
Looks crazy as hell.
Man, I've heard like the last, I've been reading like the last 20, 25 minutes of that movie is just fucking bonkers.
I like.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Very excited for that.
That's it, man. That's Vox Populi.
That's the Vox Populi. Well, then that means that's the end of the show. You know what we do at the end of every show when we have a guest? Because we do the lightning round.
We
give you the questions.
What?
You
so
give
we did
us
one
the
in the middle.
Answers.
Time that wasn't a full
for
one.
The lightning round.
Here we go. Here's an old lightning round. Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one, would you survive a zombie apocalypse?
Yes.
Number two, at what age do you consider a person to be old?
60.
Number three, have you ever had to wear a uniform?
Yes.
Number four, if you had the chance to be invisible for one day, what would you do?
Bad things.
Number five, if you could only have one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Duck confit.
Number six, do you prefer to crash with friends or stay at a hotel?
All depends on the friend.
Number seven, would you rather have no one show up at your wedding or no one show up at your funeral?
Wedding.
Number eight, if you could learn to do one thing perfectly, what would it be?
Cook.
Number nine, who is your favorite superhero?
Wolverine.
Number ten, if you teleport right now, where would you go?
Fiji.
Number 11, do you like movies about gladiators?
Sure.
12. Do they speak English in what?
No.
Number 13. What does dumb fuck mean?
Dumb fuck.
Number 4. Are you a god?
No.
Number 5. Always answer yes. Number 5. What are you rebelling against?
You.
Number 6. Who's on first?
Who?
Number 7. Our fathers were our models for God. If our fathers bailed, what does that tell you about God?
He bails.
Number 8. You know what it takes to sell real estate?
Yes.
Number 9. Where is fancy bread? In the heart or in the head?
In the head.
20. Are you not Romeo and I'm onto you?
No.
21. Would you rather be a boss or an employee?
A boss.
22. What food do you like to snack on?
Pizza.
23. Do you shower in the morning or evening?
Both.
24. What is your favorite smell?
Fresh
25. Did you play any high school sports?
Yes.
26. What would you want to know? What? Damn it. What do you want to know when you'll die?
No.
Number 7. What is your favorite day of the year?
My birthday.
38. What do you? 28. What do you like to do on a rainy day?
Smoke and read.
29. What are three websites you visit every day?
Man. I guess we'll go with Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And 30. If you found $100, what would you do?
Spend it. Whew. That was the longest. That was not a lightning round, Chris. That was a prolonged lightning round. That was a chain lightning round.
Chain lightning round. Thank you, Drew. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Chris.
That brings us to the end of the show. So thank you very much for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. If you like what you hear, go to iTunes, rate us and review us 5 stars. That would be dope. You can listen to us on Stitcher, add us to your favorites list. Drew, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Chris.
Follow this guy on Twitter at antihero419. Follow me on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo. Remember, people, break up the big banks, read more books, be excellent to each other. We'll be back.
Hey, look at that. You can play music all the time.
Oh, well, it also plays sounds on top of it.
Yeah.
Ah, see, this one stops it. It takes it over.
It's too much.
Some apps take over. Check 1, 2, check. Welcome to the show. This is the show now, Drew. I forgot to tell you, we're changing formats.
Sweet, so we're just going to listen to the Antwoord and
all sorts of music. All sorts of music.
And we're not going to talk about movies at all.
We can talk about movies.
We can? But are we going to?
Remember when the Antwoord was in Chappie?
Yes.
And they were like wearing shirts
with themselves on it. And
listening to their own music.
and the guy really wasn't a very good actor. I mean, for some reason, the girl didn't bother me so much.
She was fine. I thought he was okay. I mean, yeah, he wasn't really acting. He acts as much as he acts all day long, like his persona of who he is. Himself. He was just doing him. He was just doing Ninja, yo.
Is that his name?
Ninja.
South African?
Yeah, South African.
South African Ninja, okay.
He's got this one song where it's all like... They're speaking Zef or some shit. They're fucked up. They're poor, fucked up language.
Okay.
Look out.
Check it. A lot of people ask me why I sometimes speak with an Afrikaans accent. Check, the cool thing about South Africa is that you got 11 national languages to choose from. So if I'm speaking to an Afrikaans person, I can speak in an Afrikaans accent. And if I'm speaking to an English person, I can speak with a fucking English accent. And when I'm speaking to my brothers, we like to speak with a black accent, ne? Hola, machitas! And miskien voel ek net lekker om met 'n fucking Zef Afrikaans accent te gooi. En miskien maak my net fucking zaars om woorde soos poes en naai en fuck en kont en peelsuig en all night sê. En miskien maak het jou meisies een klein slijmkonijntje lekker sapperig nat as ek so praat. En wat die fucks verkeerd daarmee, hè? Jesus. Ek stel so fucking zaars, ek skop so in die bedkast en sê.
Are we to believe that people communicate like that? I guess so. Why
yes.
Not? Languages work that way.
Yes.
It's like fucked up. South African Gaelic of some sort.
Some strange slang.
It's what the poor...
It's the slum slang.
It's how the poor speak. I don't know. I like the gimmick and the sound and everything they do. And the whole Zef thing. It's like...
You dig it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not really that into it.
No, this one. This is the show. We started. This is the show.
This is the show.
Yeah. So how you doing?
So what are we talking about now, Chris?
What do you want to talk about, man?
I mean...
We're going to get a whole bunch of downloads now because of the Doug Loves Movies things. We're getting more than normal.
So what, you're just going to fill their ears with bullshit that has nothing to do with...
What are you doing?
Doug or movies?
What are you doing? Oh, we can talk about that stuff eventually.
Eventually?
Yeah, the length of the show is changing.
Okay, it's going to go from...
We normally do like an hour and a half to 2 hours if we have a guest or not.
And now we're going to do...
At least 5 hours straight. That's why I got the bucket over there. I brought in the bucket.
I'm not prepared for this. You should have warned me. I should have eaten something before we started this adventure.
We did eat something.
Last chance.
We had those chicken sandwiches.
I'm going to need more.
Very well.
You need more than just a little chicken sandwich?
For 5 hours? Yeah, man. Look what time it is.
It's only one. On a rainy Sunday? What is he going to do? Sit on a couch and play? What's the game you're playing? Let's talk about the game you're playing.
Not playing a game.
Yeah,
I don't have a game that I'm playing right now.
What the Fallout thing?
Oh, the Fallout Shelter?
Yeah.
The little Android game?
Yeah.
It's just an Android game.
Yeah, it's a game.
It's just, I mean, it's like 5-10 minutes of pointing and clicking every, 5-10 hours,
sure.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like your Simpsons thing. You're building mm-hmm. Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
I'm building a vault.
A vault. Where people die because of stuff.
Yes, from either radiation poisoning or lack of food or,
that's
raiders and death claws come in and kill everybody.
That's the thing with the Simpsons game. There's no... It's not so much a game in that there's no penalties. You just do things slow or fast.
Mm-hmm.
Either it takes forever or you pay the money
well,
and get
like
it done
family,
quickly.
I mean, I had that Family Guy one.
Family Guy thing. Yeah, the same model.
But then I broke my phone. I didn't want to restart everything. So
that's really funny.
Fuck it.
Yeah. Well, that would happen. If that happened to me with The Simpsons, I don't know if I could restart it. Having done it for a couple years and not spent any money on it, so what I built has been all built on time. Just got those spare moments, man, throughout the day. Just open
up. Exactly. Yeah.
You know now with the vault thing.
Well, no, I mean, like I said, I did that thing. I just don't like having games on my phone.
Talk more inside my phone. A little more inside
my phone. I don't like it when I have games on my phone. It's, I mean, I already spend...
Because you'll be inclined to use them?
Yes. Exactly.
Because you're a gamer.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've got, you know, I mean, I spend enough time on my phone with the Twitters and the Facebooks and the Instagrams. You know, it's... I don't want to spend any more time staring at this tiny screen in my pocket. It annoys me.
The black mirror.
It annoys me how much time people spend staring at their phones.
Yeah. Like, but, I mean, it is an amazing tool, though, the phone.
I mean, it is, but it's also...
And people do use it to play the Candy Crush Saga, Witch Hunt, you know, War of Spacecraft 8. Sure, I mean, people use it for dumb things all the time. But this thing, this little black mirror,
it's made,
also can connect us with people like on the other side of the world instantly.
Well, see, that's just it.
Visually and audibly.
It's made to quote-unquote connect you. But you spend so much time staring at the screen that you don't spend any time interacting with the person who's sitting right next to you.
Yeah, but I mean, that's because I don't want to interact with those people at that time. Like, I know you're there. I know you're sitting there. I see you all the time.
I don't give a fuck.
I want to talk to someone in California right now. You want to
on the Twitters.
You want to talk, say something.
In 140 characters or less.
That's the challenge. That's the poetic challenge. It's like the haiku thing. They should make it 120 characters.
I just think it's funny that social media does probably more isolating than connecting.
It can.
On an actual, like, real world scale.
I don't know. It is a relatively new thing, the way social media has developed. Mm-hmm. You can say it's been, 10 years old at this point.
Probably.
Social media, as we know, but it hasn't really taken off until the last, like, 5 years in a real way. The last couple of years, even more so, like, in a real world sense.
Well, it's because, now people are making shit tons of money off it.
And that's also how information is being spread around. Some of it erroneous, some of it, you know,
Much of
it erroneous. But much of it also, like...
Or just coming from unreliable sources or, quote-unquote, false sources. Favorite thing on Twitter is when you find someone who's making a real argument against, like, an Onion article. They're like, really?
Oh, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, like, people do that shit all the time.
Don't understand what's going on.
Yes, that's
here.
The one problem with the internet, that everyone has a voice now. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of dodos out there, majority of dodos. But there are also cool things that happen, like when Ferguson went down last year.
That happened live on social media.
Yeah, because there was a media blackout. The police shut out the media, and they tried to fucking beat that town down militarized style in the dark. And people turned on their phones and, you know, videotape shit and Twittered stuff, and it became a huge deal.
Yeah.
And they're actively documenting the suppression of the documentation. It's crazy shit.
Yeah.
It's crazy shit. So we're going to see, I think, in 10, 15, 20 years, the overall impact. Has it been good? Has it been bad?
I mean, both. I mean, I'm sure
the scale's going to have to tip one way or the other. Is it? Or will it just be?
No,
it'll all even out.
It's something created by humans, so it is both inherently good and inherently bad. It all depends on what you want to use it for at that point in time.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
it's like a car.
Social media has done, you know, great things for, you know, pressing, you know, getting your message out there and to a more, you know, I guess, worldwide audience. But at the same time, I mean, I'm sure it's totally destroyed some people's lives.
Yeah, of course, like anything. Like substances or addictions to gambling or things. They're
anything
that bring some people joy, then other people it takes them too far.
You know, congressmen sending pictures of their wang to ladies.
People just love doing it, yo. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, look at
they do.
Here's a wang. Have you seen one of these before? Does it look anything like this? Oh, they do.
Okay, awesome.
Doesn't separate us then in any way, shape, or form. They're just penises.
Yes,
you gotta get over this hang-up, man. In America, people's sex lives.
Well, that's. I mean, it comes
that puritanical bullshit.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's how it was done, and that has a lot to do with the, you know, the religious thing too. You know, Judeo-Christianity is not very happy about A, sex, or B, women. In general, you know, it was, you know, made from a patriarchal society.
Yeah. Very patriarchal.
Many millennia ago.
That treats women and children as, women and children
subhuman
as cattle.
Yeah.
Chattel. C-H-A, CT.
Pretty much. Yeah. So it makes perfect sense that, you know, sex and, you know, the female. I mean, the
demonized.
The East doesn't have a problem with it at all. Well, except for the Asian, maybe just the Japanese. The Japanese are weird.
The Japanese
sex.
Do have some. Yeah, some.
They have some very strange repressive issues going on.
Pixelating the genitalia, but then there's like full on porn and mangas that they're reading openly in public.
But you see, that's the thing too.
Not judging.
America has the same thing. You know, it's, you know, it preaches this whole wait till you're married, this, that, the other. But people are doing some really freaky shit. I mean, Jared just got arrested for child porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Subway, so
no, not child porn. The child porn was like,
and having sex with underage kids.
Yeah, yeah. The child porn, I think, was someone else, but it revealed like, oh shit, this guy's a fucking creepo.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it's so weird. It's such a weird thing. Why do these things?
But we preach monogamy and get married and
it's crazy because he was just preaching eating Subway sandwiches. It would have been one thing if he was out there being like for the like monogamy, you know.
But he had a
heterosexual
wife,
marriage.
He had a wife and two kids.
Yeah, a lot of them do. Of course they do. A lot of people do. Where are we gonna?
I don't know.
This is the show. But you're right.
I'm
you're right about that. Absolutely. That is why
it's a strange duality in America.
Let's see what else we got going on here. Yeah, it's fucked up.
So
it's it was like the Duggar family thing. You know, by the name that story,
kind of.
They're part of a cult.
Okay.
A Christian cult called Quiverful, in a quiverful of arrows.
Okay.
And their whole thing is like, our arrows are our children that we can brainwash as they age.
Okay, so we need the Quiverful.
Keep pumping out kids. That's why their show's like 19 and counting or some bullshit like that on TLC. They're propagating that fucking crap. And they're one of the older brothers, maybe the oldest brother, who's part of like all these right-wing conservative think tanks based on his association with this family and this church and this TV show. Like, no education or anything whatsoever. He's been associated with all these people, Mike Huckabee and all this shit. And he, and the Duggar family, they, like, recorded messages that robocalled whatever state they're in, Virginia or Tennessee or some shit. Robocalled people being all like, there's an LGBT equal rights law coming out, and we can't let that shit pass because that means transgender people will be like going into children's bathrooms and like raping the kids and shit like that, because they immediately equate transgender with pedophilia. That's the one of the most favorite attacks against homosexuality is to immediately link it with pedophilia. Why?
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. They're not called. Yes, exactly. They're grass menstruals. So they do all that shit, right? And then this Josh Duggar dude, the oldest brother, it turns out that he molested three of his sisters and another kid that range in age from like 4 to 11 or 12 or some shit like that.
Sounds about right.
And then like the family found out about it.
And
they hushed it up and they sent him to some quote rehab place for like a week or whatever. No. And then that Ashley Madison
thing.
They
never talked about it again.
Yeah, they never talked about it, but then it got out again somehow that shit happened. Well, more recently, but this time people are like, Twitter, we're not letting this shit go for at least 24 to 48 hours. And because, you know, the rage cycle is pretty quick online.
Of course.
It burns hot and dies quick. If that ever happens to you, Drew, you just got to ride it out. Lay low for a couple days. People forget about you. Move on to the next thing.
People have already forgotten about me.
No, I'm just saying.
Like, in the amount of the 3 seconds that you were just talking, people have already forgotten I exist.
Fair enough. With the Ashley Madison thing,
I'm gone.
It turned out that he had an account on Ashley Madison, and he had like fake Facebook accounts and stuff for meeting chicks. Oh, and some former porn star came out and was like, "Oh, he paid me like $3,000 to sleep with him." Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's like kind of hypocritical shit. That's like, and then the whole time they're like,
"Well, yeah,
gays can't get married." You know, you gotta the Christian way; it's the right way. Blah blah blah. Than all these conservatives.
Because the stronger they preach it, the more people believe that that's them.
Yeah, right?
Behind closed doors.
Can't be wishy-washy
about
that shit.
Usually not the case.
It's crazy. Glenn Beck admitted that he, like, went hard on Fox News and shit with his show because that's what the audience wanted, and that's where the money was, and that he kind of regretted contributing to all that bullshit. But, you know, it's too late, man. And then he's still out there, like, saying crazy shit anyway. Yeah. Fucking Glenn Beck, son of a bitch.
I'm back. All right. So this is the show.
This is the show, Drew.
I guess I should say welcome to the Cinema Crespo Show. I am host Chris Crespo, hanging out with Juicy Guy Brinder. Imploded from the inside because why not?
Sure.
We got a nice spike of listeners in California. Maybe we should just shut down, retool, head out to Cali.
Right now.
Oh, no, I mean, you know, it's going to take a couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll got the Cali set out there in Hollywood.
I mean, it's going to take me more than a couple weeks, but okay.
Nah, we'll just go. We'll just drop all obligations and responsibilities and just go.
Can't do that, dude.
Yeah, you can.
Nope.
Sure.
Uh-uh.
Think for yourself. Think for yourself for once. Drew, think for yourself for once.
I am thinking for myself. I got shit going on, man.
Then we're going to have to bring California to us.
Okay, let's do it.
How do we do that?
A really big crane.
Listen to all this music. A big crane? You mean like physically the state?
We're going to bring California to us.
I meant more metaphorically like the people, but okay. You want to physically pick up the geography of the
entire state of California. We just cut out, you know, because the map lines are right there. They're on the ground. All we got to do is cut right there at the line.
Cut along the line.
And just lift it up out of place.
Why can't we cut along the tectonic plate? Just solve everyone's problem. Everyone's waiting for this big earthquake to happen. We'll just remove that part of California.
Well, I mean, you said you wanted all of California.
We need Southern California. That's where Hollywood is.
Slightly smaller, Craig.
As high up as San Francisco. I would like to take San Francisco. If we can somehow leave Oakland behind, that'd be cool.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Is that not possible?
There's lots of people there, Chris.
You want to listen to some Faith No More?
No. Really?
Black Dahlia? Every Time I Die.
I mean, sure.
Oh, this has a movie reference. Name the reference. Name the movie. Right here.
I hate this city.
One more time.
I hate this city.
Nope. No, I hate this city. Gwyneth Paltrow saying it to Morgan Freeman in Seven. You lose. That was Juicy Cogman versus the world. See, now I'm going to play the game, but then let you know afterwards.
This is a really strange episode, Chris.
This is the episode. This is it. I think people will enjoy it.
What did you say, sir? Switching it up.
We can find a way to morph this into Beardo and the Stash.
Beardo and the Stash.
How about some...
Do you have any like strange horns or just really obnoxious noises?
Oh, you know what? I mean... I have this thing, but I don't...
What was that?
A monkey.
That's good, yeah. That's a good one.
Finish him.
Underused. We should be using the finish him during the Crespo Dome battles.
Finish him.
And then when you're
at
like...
At the end, we'll talk about both of them, and then at the end, we'll do finish him, and it's... So, Drew, who do you think won? Chris, who do you think won?
Finish him.
All right. I'm going to have to find a way. The thing is, all these buttons are on, like, they're spread out between three different applications.
That's going to be a... No.
Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah, but which one? Who was it? Was that...
I don't know.
Was that Goku? Was that Krillin?
It's kind of a high-pitched one.
Sound like Krillin.
It could have been I think it was a Krillin.
Mario.
That's from Mario 64.
Yeah, it is Mario 64. Yeah, but just a little MIDI version for some reason.
It sounded like a beeper.
I never actually watched it. Yeah, these are the buttons that I have, dude. Got some Vuvuzelas. Vuvuzelas. Those longhorns.
Yeah, that is.
Are you warmed up?
Sure.